Hello and welcome to Cozy Cryptid. I'm your host, Tanner, and today with me is a very special guest.
I am not special.
You're very special.
To you, maybe.
You're special.
To you.
Special needs.
Ouch.
No, I'm kidding. I love you.
I love you too, you goofball.
Well, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for taking time to listen this week. And this week we are in Jalisco. I forget Jalisco. How.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I think it's Jalisco.
I think J's are pronounced like H's in Spanish.
Jalisco? That would sound weird.
I don't know.
But again, not Spanish, nor do I try to be.
Don't bring that mic a little bit closer to you.
I am not moving the mic because I do not want it to fall on me.
That's like perfect. That is perfect. You sound perfection.
To you.
No, you sound actually a lot better. It's not cutting out and in and out. And
like, I sound like shit.
You sound really great.
No, I don't. But continue.
Okay.
I didn't even introduce myself. Hi, everyone. It's Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Wow.
Who are you?
Your fiance.
My fiance.
Yes. Crazy as it may sound.
Yeah, crazy that anyone would want to marry me. I know.
No, you're an amazing human being, and I love you with all my heart. Thank you.
I love you, too. I love you. You're amazing, too. But onto the show.
Sugar.
I'm going to play the intro. Now I'm found for the intro. Alrighty, guys. The Mexican state of Jalisco, however you want to say it, the western coast is on the western coast is home to miracles, mysterious pyramids, aliens, artifacts, and legends. Join us as we explore the rich history and mysterious events that have occurred recently in Jalisco.
Alright, so the first story that we're going to be talking about is called The Flowering Crown of Thorns. So, in December of 2010, television crews from all over Latin America came to the town of Otlan in the Mexican state of Jalisco. Among them was Spanish-language broadcast giant Univision, which sent a film crew from their show, Primero Empatico, to cover what people throughout the region were considering to be a miracle.
The Basilica to Our Lord of Mercy. Something unusual was happening on the main crucifix behind the altar. The crown of thorns on the head of Jesus, or Jesus, began to sprout flowers.
Really? Sprout flowers?
Yeah. God. Inside a church. Inside, this is... Interesting, like, flowers that, like, don't need much soil to sprout.
Most flowers, too, yes. They have to be earthbound.
I'm asking if there's certain flowers that don't need as much soil.
Well, there are air plants that attach themselves to trees, but they don't normally sprout flowers. They're just like little Medusa plants.
Medusa plants?
I think that's what they're called. Not 100% sure on that one.
Okay. The crown of sprout flowers. The crown, which has been made out of a thorny desert plant, have been twisted into a circle, have been taken off the statue of Jesus. When Father Miguel and Angel Gonzalez noticed a sprout which had appeared in the back of the crown. In early November of 2010, by the time of the filming of the Primer Impacto episode about this event, the crown of thorns had been removed and put under glass to be monitored by security cameras.
When the television crew filmed the sacred object, it had several pink trumpet-like flowers.
Hold on. So was it saying it's growing flowers on the thorny crown or on the statue?
The crown.
It's not that unusual. Okay, go on. Sorry.
When the television crew filmed the sacred object, it had several pink trumpet-like flowers coming out of it and a few other green shoots with leaves. Faithful from the town of Otolan and the surrounding areas formed a line to view the crown, and the flower seemed extra special because it was the week before Christmas. The residential priest talked briefly about the history of this specific crown of thorns. It was given to the church as a gift in 1994 by a new bride after a wedding. The crown was placed at the foot of the cross and then moved to the rest of the praying hands of a statue of the Virgin of Dolores. From the Virgin statue, it was moved to its rightful place on the top of the Callisto, or in English, Christ, on the main crucifix in the Basilica.
The Univision reporter also spoke with two parishioners about what they were witnessing. Gerardo Moreno stated calmly and evenly, "It's a message because everything is pretty bad. I think that this is a sign." Juan Manuel Nunez, an older man with tears in his eyes, trembled when he told the reporter, "I am a believer. A believer in God. It's a warning. A warning of something. Like most people who visited the object, the locals interviewed were not sure exactly what they were seeing, only that it was somehow supernaturally inspired and seemed to underscore their already strong religious beliefs. Father Miguel Angel assured the church was going to great lengths to investigate the phenomenon and promised to keep the relic under glass with round-the-clock monitoring by security cameras to prove that the crown was not being tampered with.
The premier Empatico show ended by telling its viewers that the University of Guadalajara was going to make a thorough scientific investigation of the crown and make its finding public. The University of Guadalajara, I don't know if I'm saying this right, sorry, did issue its scientific explanation for the miracle of the flowering crown in the early 2011. In its comprehensive report, university scientists stated that the plant from which the crown was made, known by its specific name, Euphora milii, is a hardly desert plant that can go years without water. Seeds may stay dormant for decades and are activated by the slightest indication of moisture.
Whoa.
So after 15 plus years of being inactive, the plant the crown was made of came to life, presumably because of humidity in the room or the condensation
of water droplets on the back of the head of the statue on which the crown rested. To the faithful, although the story may seem thoroughly explained and even well intentioned, the flowering crown by thorns remains a miracle.
Miracle if the plant is known to be dormant for years on end. But maybe because of the time of year it was around when it started to bloom, made it the miracle.
Is the fact that it was on a statue of Jesus. Yeah. It's a miracle. But let's take a moment here while we talk a little bit. We'll wrap back after this message about ketones.
Wait, what? We're doing that now.
Sorry about that. That's the wrong thing. Sorry.
Making me try to choke on my drink.
Alrighty. So, Amanda, I heard you have these things called ketones.
Yes, I do. It's actually called from a brand called Privet.
Privet?
P-R-U-V-I-T. Privet.
Privet. Mm-hmm. P-R-U-V-I-T.
P-R-O-V-I-T. Prove it.
Prove it. Okay.
Yes. It's actually a really cool drink. You take it an hour before you eat a meal, or 3 hours after you eat a meal, and it puts your body in ketosis. There's two different types. You have your caffeinated and uncaffeinated.
What's ketosis?
Ketosis is where your body burns off its fat and using it as fuel instead of using your food or anything like that. It's actually taking your body fat and using that to fuel your body. It's actually, you don't even have to do a keto diet.
Do you know what ketosis is? I'll tell you what. It's when your liver produces ketones, and the ketones burn fat. Either, like you said, use fat as an energy source instead of carbohydrates.
Exactly. And that's why if you do drink this drink, a lot of people don't even do carbs. Though I do, and I've lost 3 pounds from it. But it gives you amazing energy, focus, and all that kind of stuff. And it really does help you energy-wise. Like, I stopped drinking coffee and soda because of it.
That's really good.
Yes, and I'm a soda addict, just like my fiance over here.
Yes.
Who drinks Dr. Pepper 24/7, it seems like.
Dr. Pepper is life.
No, it's not. Pepsi is.
Dr. Pepper is love.
That Pepsi is, but off that
topic. So how could... So, ketones sounds like a really great product.
It is. It can be a little pricey, unfortunately.
Is there a reasonable trial, reasonably priced trial?
There is. I actually am doing trial packets with the 5 original flavors that we that the company produces, which is strawberry peach, blueberry acai, heart tart, raspberry lemonade, and why am I spacing? Lime thyme, which lime thyme is my favorite. It tastes like freaking lemon lime soda.
Yeah.
It does. It's one of my favorites.
So how could someone get a trial pack?
Well, you can comment down below trial and we will send you information.
Comment down below. There's no comments.
Okay.
It's not YouTube, okay?
Hey, well, on TikTok you can comment, and on any type of social media you can comment.
Okay.
So
go to, hit me up on Cozy Creative Podcast on Instagram. Type ketones trial.
Yeah. And there are 3 different trials. You have your 3. The 3-pack, the 5-pack, and the 10-pack. And they did just release a new flavor, which is peach. And hopefully I will get my hands on that soon.
Alrighty. And where else can you buy it at the company again?
Well, I actually have a specific website that you can go to. Let me pull it up because I don't have that memorized yet. It is luca9321.shopketo.com.
That's luca9321.shopketo.com?
No at.
I didn't say at.
I thought you did.
luca9321.shopketo.
But don't forget the period.
Is it before?
It's after the one. Then it's shop keto.
Oh,
period again. Go to
9321.shopketo.com.
Yep. And you'll see all the different flavors. They have drinks, fasting stuff, and all kinds of different things.
All right, let's get back
to our regular show.
Yeah.
You can pronounce this one. Because God knows I can't. At all.
All right. Pyramids of Guachmontones. A little over an hour west of Guadalajara is the sleepy town of Tunicatlan. The town's name was a Spanish blend of the languages of the Aztecs, meaning a place dedicated to divine forces or where the gods are revered.
Interesting.
Hmm.
In the early 1970s, outside attention was drawn to the site, especially the city's most curious feature, the circular pyramids dominating the city and that are found nowhere else in the world.
Well, that's weird.
That is kind of weird, especially in a circular pattern. Most pyramids are triangular. So that is kind of odd.
Archaeologists initially believed that the site was an Aztec outpost or perhaps belonged to an early Tarascan kingdom. Investigations of these curious pyramids began in earnest in the 1970s and distinguished itself as being part of a previously unknown culture, soon dubbed the Teotihuacan tradition.
Okay, interesting. The people of the West also had circular buildings and plazas and shared some of the same ceramic traditions as well as custom of burying the dead in shaft tombs. But this area stands out because it's the home of the circular step pyramids, which are unknown in other parts of Mesoamerica.
Yeah.
Mesoamerica, and perhaps unique to the world.
Hmm. Yeah, because you think about the, what's that one famous cathedral in Rome? That's like St. Paul, I think. It's like very round.
I don't know.
Okay.
I should know that because I love Italy.
Archaeologists are still trying to put together the formal story of the Teotihuacan tradition, but over the past 20 years, much has been learned about the lost city of the strange round pyramids and the society that built it.
Occupation at the site of the circular pyramids began around 35 BC and may have lasted until 40 AD. Settlements in the area may have extended a full kilometer from the central part of the city, going as far as Lake La Vega, where evidence of ancient flowing gardens have been found.
Mm.
I would love to have seen the floating gardens. That probably was so pretty.
In Babylon?
Anywhere.
The main city of Guashmatons was dominated by monumental architectural, primarily divided into individual circular complexes. There are 10 such circular complexes following the same architectural formula. Each complex has a center, a circular pyramid, an elevated circular patio surrounding the pyramid. A circular sidewalk surrounds the patio. And on the sidewalk, there are between 8 and 12 rectangular platforms. Tombs exist under some of the platforms. The stone platforms once had buildings on them made of perishable materials, which may have served as residence of elites or for ceremonial functions. In the Teotihuacan tradition, there exists an overabundance of clay figurines, which serve as a chronicle of daily life in the area in ancient Greece times. And some of these figurines were assembled into scenes. One can see the types of wooden and straw buildings with large roofs that may have surrounded the pyramids on the circular sidewalks.
That is different. All right.
That's weird.
The biggest structure at the site is the circular pyramid found at what archaeologists call Circle 2. It stands over 60 feet tall with sweeping views of the surrounding terrarium and the Lake of La Vega. And it includes 13 terraces leading up to a top altar with an additional 4 terraces. The circular pyramids and many of the other large structures in the city were finished with lime and painted an orange-red terracotta color. Many of the surfaces were decorated with geometrical design or rudimental photographs. There is no evidence that the ancient people of Guashmatons are the inhabitants of the other sites. The Teotihuacan tradition had a written language.
Written language? Huh.
Well, a lot of places in the early, like the 35 BC or 40 AD, 400 AD didn't really have any written language.
Yeah, written language is a pretty big milestone in like civilization.
Well, they used hieroglyphics in freaking ancient Egypt.
That's a written language still.
Well, then I am not the brightest tool in the bunch in that sense then.
Like cuneiform? Ever look at cuneiform?
Nope.
Chicken scratch, dude.
Huh?
It's like chicken scratch.
Oh, Lord.
But still a written language.
Gotcha.
With formal investigations and other research being conducted, the picture of what went on at the Guashmatons in ancient times is becoming more clear to historians. Most of the site remains unexcavated, and the ruins are still not very well known to tourists. There is a lot left to develop, discover, and learn about this place. What has been called Teotihuacan tradition may be reclassified by archaeologists sometime in the future as a distinct civilization with gigantic circular pyramids at the center of Guashmatons at its focal point.
Very interesting.
That's very interesting.
Still weird to have a round pyramid, but.
So, what are your thoughts on the pyramid, the circle of pyramids? That
I would love to see them in real life to actually get the true visualization of what they look like. And to see, like, how in-depth they are. But it's pretty cool to learn about it.
Yeah.
And how tall it can be and how many terraces it has. And that they're still finding different stuff, which would be cool to learn more and more about it.
It definitely will be.
What about you?
I think it'll be cool just to be there. Like you said, just to walk there and look at
it. Yeah, all right.
Also, really fascinating how these... I wonder how they actually built them.
It'd be interesting to learn.
If it makes sense, if it's like, oh, like a geography of where it's at, and like it's pretty hard stones around here, or if it's like swampy land.
If it's especially like, if they're using lime and then if limestone it's a, and different things like that.
If it's like in a swampy area where the ground's like, I don't understand. So, I'll be right back. We're going to take a little bit of a
break.
Break with say about a little brand. See, that's going to support. All right, everybody, I'm here to tell you about Wavelo.
What's Wavelo?
You need to put your goddamn mic in.
Can you hear me now?
Disrespect. Disrespect.
I'm a 28-year-old child. Let's talk about our sponsors.
Okay, Wavelo is a watch company, and they specialize in Swiss watches.
Swiss watches?
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm not a big watch person, but they always are pretty.
This watch right here is from Wavelo.
Oh, that is a pretty watch. The silver. I like that on you.
Thank you. It is the IKEA watch.
Nice. Like I said, I do like the looks of watches. I just can't wear one because of work. But I would if I could.
Yeah.
They're pretty. Especially the women's watches where it's all detailed, which I'm sure they would have, if I am not mistaken. And I feel like I'm just doing babble and random.
About Wavelo. This is from their website. You can find it at the bottom on their website page. Following the brief introduction, Wavelo Watches would hereby like to extend our warmest welcome and invite new and returning friends from around the world to examine, discuss, and breathe all things watches. Enjoy this wonderful journey of watch appreciation together. Transferring the Swiss experience to all over the world from our online store, serving you your elegant passion. You can find them on Instagram at wavelo.official, I think. But they're giving Cozy Cryptid listeners, I think, a really good deal.
What's the deal?
50% off.
That is great. 50% off of anything is amazing.
And you can get that by using code word cozy time at checkout when you order at wavelo.com.
That is adorable.
Another great deal comes from Zerafia.
What's Zerafia? I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah, you're saying it.
Okay.
They're a
jewelry company?
Yeah, they're a jewelry company.
Yay. Girls love their jewelry.
That's where I get the pearl necklace.
Oh, I love that choker.
If you want to take a look here and tell me your thoughts on the products they have here.
They do have a mixture of gold and silver, which I appreciate because I'm a silver girl. Gold is pretty, but I don't like the look of it on me. But they do have a range from bracelets and necklaces. I do believe they also have earrings, which they do, which are really pretty. Why didn't you tell me about this? Because I really like the heart earrings.
you know what? You can save 90. You can get some, Amanda, for 90% off.
You gotta be kidding me, because 90% off is freaking really bomb good. Because you're paying like a quarter of the price.
You're paying 10% of the price. You're paying for 10% of the price in shipping.
That's freaking awesome. I wish they did have a little bit more silver on their earrings.
Yeah.
But they're freaking beautiful. Why are you showing me these things?
But,
your wife-to-be is broke.
You can save 90% off your order. You can order something right there. Use code COZYBLING90 at checkout and save 90% off your order at Serafia.com.
That's awesome.
Or you can just go to, there's a logo on the Coach Cryptic webpage. You just click the link and I think it will take you directly to
their site.
The site and the code be on it or not. Some don't have a direct link.
But the code word is COZYBLING90 and you get 90% off your total order.
Yes.
And a lot of their necklaces are stacked, which means there's more than one necklace. And they're freaking gorgeous.
Yes.
I would love the necklace with the lock and the key. But yeah, I would highly recommend going looking at Serafia. They have beautiful products.
Cool. So again, that's COZYBLING90 for
90% off.
That's an amazing deal.
Yeah. Like, it's better than 50%. But don't get me wrong, those switch washes are pretty badass. Excuse my language. But
you think about the craftsmanship it takes to make a watch compared to a necklace.
Necklaces are easy because I used to make jewelry. But mine are not that high of a quality, especially using 14-karat gold. But watches take more precision because you have
to be exact.
Yeah, but you also have mechanics that are involved in watches, not in necklaces. Don't forget you have gears and stuff to make the watch
exactly to be exact.
Yeah. But both deals are amazing, so go check them out on the Cozy Cryptid website or go to Serafia for 90% off using the code word COZYBLING. And what was the watch site again?
Wavy Low.
And it's Cozy Time for 50% off.
Yes, ma'am. And
I have seen I kind of want to give a shout out to Jack Daniel's Peach. It's freaking awesome.
I can't. Shout out to Jack Daniel's Peach. They're not a sponsor, but they're fucking good.
Yeah, their Southern Peach drink is phenomenal. You don't taste any alcohol in it, and you'll get drunk immediately.
I might get some of that Honey Jack.
Honey Jack or the Peach Jack?
Honey Jack.
Would you like me to get you a glass?
Yeah, let me pour this.
I can just get you another glass.
I know, but I don't like wasting. Read the
thing. Okay. So on to the next story of this wonderful podcast. The next story is the alien artifacts of Owolosi D. Jalisco. In 1999, in the high desert of the far northeast corner of Mexican state of Jalisco, a former Mexican military doctor set up camp after a long day of exploring the country. The man's name was Dr. Pablo Antigua Garcia Sanchez. Dr. Garcia was near the area known as El Torero in the municipality. Thank you. Of Owolosi D. Jalisco, near the corners where the state of Jalisco, Zacatex, and Man, why do these names have to be so dang hard?
Agua Caliente, ¿no tienes?
Sure, meat. Let's go with that. This is a pretty sparsely populated and somewhat barren part of Mexico, and the doctor took the camping trip alone to get away from the rigors of modern civilization life. God, sometimes we all need that. Just to put down all the electronics and get away from everyday hectic life. What he found on his trip astounded him. A stone weighing a few pounds and about the size of two hands cupped together. On the surface of the stone were strange markings seemingly done by a craftsman of a forgotten civilization. To Garcia's untrained eye, the carving of the stone looked Mayan and orange, but that would have been nearly impossible, owing to the fact that this part of Mexico is 1,000 miles away from the ancient Mayan heartland. It was somewhat more believable for the artifact to be of the closer and more recent Aztec civilization, as training routes of the Aztec Empire did go that far north into the desert areas.
Had he found an item that had been carried there a long distance? Were there other carved stones like this one? The camping trip over, Dr. Garcia returned to the town of Ojelos and joined his find to find and showed his find to locals. Some people in the town had recognized the style of the carving immediately and had told the doctor the farmers had and ranchers had been stumbling over artifacts like his for 80 years or more. There were even rumors of hundreds of elaborately carved objects being found in a cave near where Garcia had been camping, along with a skull that did not belong to any creature known to man. Others told him of a lost city and of a large temple that few knew of. Some locals even shared with him some of their own finds, stones and pieces of stones with strange carvings on them. A curious man by nature, Dr. Garcia decided that he would dedicate more time to these curious pieces. And together with a few other people interested in studying the stones, he formed a research group called Nahuli Olin, which is the Aztec language, which in the Aztec language, Nahuatl means fifth world, or a world in which the humanity currently resides, according to the old Aztec legends.
Dr. Garcia's organization had cataloged over 400 unique items gathered from the hills and desert valleys outside the town of Ojelos and across the countryside of Jalisco into the Mexican state of Zacatecan. Over 90% of these pieces are made of carved stone, while the rest are made of a fire clay substance. The artificials are perhaps the most controversial in Mexico because of what they decipher. In a strange fusion of Mesoamerica art style, the pieces appear to show flying saucers, the typical gray aliens as reported by modern UFO abductees, humans in spacesuits, and allegorical outer space scenes, along with fanciful animals and strange bits of writing resonating of Mayan glyphs.
What has been interpreted as star maps has also been found on some of these stones. In the collection, there are a few depictions of the central part of the Aztec calendar, or sunstone, with the center face of the sun replaced by a more otherworldly-looking, stylized, gray alien face. For many years, before Garcia took his camping trip, artifacts had long been sold to tourists, which have led many skeptics to believe that all these pieces are fakes, and that selling these items, along with guiding tours to the caves and surrounding areas to hunt for artifacts, is just a way for locals to make money off of the gullible. Although the Nahuli Olin group has over 400 of these pieces in its collection for study, researchers believe that these are thousands more of these artifacts in private collections all over the world, and a great many of them in the private homes of local families.
All right. In 2015, Dr. Garcia published a book about the studies conducted by his research group in English, Aztlan and the Aztecs, a more complete history of humanity. The book starts with the premise that the area in which the artifacts were found was part of the mythical point of origin that the Aztecs called Aztlan, and that the pieces discovered show a definite off-world influence of the beginnings of Aztec civilization in the Aztlan homeland. Garcia draws criticisms from skeptics for his assumptions, and those who see Garcia as the center of money-making venture and believe that his organization, whose mission is clear, has an agenda. This agenda fuels conferences, books, tours, a small museum, and an on-again, off-again internet show called Aslet Parasco Perdido, or in instance, Aslet Lost Paradise.
The newly owned group employs no formally trained archaeologists or those who with any academically based field research experience. A huge criticism of the group is that it does not thoroughly document finds by including information about specific artifact locations, detailed testimony of witnesses, nor methods used to unearth the pieces. Critics and people who are generally curious about the problems these pieces pose are demanding more scientific research on these finds. This has not been forthcoming, as state and national archaeological historical groups in Mexico refuse to examine these pieces and dismiss the whole Ojillo's affair as a shoddy hoax. Since the attention brought to the Ojillo's artifacts, many paranormal, ancient, astronaut, and UFO-related investigators have come out in support of the finds. Is this just a case of I Want to Believe? By the way, check out I Want to Believe by this book. Read a book, Peter. No. I'll tell you in a second. 1 second. Well, let's get dead air. Let me go talking. Leave. I don't know. Anyway, have any other element of ancient materials? Cultures have been found in areas beside these carved stones. What are the rumors of a temple in the Lost City? As of now, there have not been revealed to outsiders if they ever existed at all.
All right. In 2014, a skull of what was claimed to be an extraterrestrial was found in a remote cave just outside of Olas de Jalisco. An informal examination of this supposed skull showed it to be a haphazard creation fashioned out of various animal bones. Investigators have tried for many years to get serious attention focused on Olesco from legitimate institutions in Mexico which study ancient artifacts. The ultimate authority for archaeology in the land of Mexico's National Institute of Anthropology and History based in Mexico City with offices and representations in every state in Mexico. In response to an inquiry about whether or not it was legal for those supposedly extraterrestrial artifacts found at Ojillo's to be sold off to tourists, archaeologist Dr. Anne Maria Pels Martin was with the National Institution of Anthropology and History stated, despite the falsity of these pieces being marked as real pre-Hispanic items, and although people are deceived, there is no crime to pursue, since for the National Institution of Anthropology and History, they are not historical objects, but simple crafts.
Whoa. Of course, people will counter that Dr. Pels Martin wrote and alleged the governments have historically covered up events of alien visitation and have denied any contact with extraterrestrials. Past or present, and that institutions like Mexico's National Institute of Anthropology and History are established merely to aid in such cover-ups. While this may be true, perhaps we have an undeniably cut and dry example of a hoax coming from a remote corner of Jalisco. Perhaps not. You decide.
Dun, dun, dun.
What do you think? Do you think it's a hoax or not a hoax?
I mean, throughout all the 400 pieces he's found, I kind of feel like it's a hoax because you really don't normally find that many artifacts.
Yeah. I think it started real and they noticed people were interested in it and they can make money off of it.
Yep. It was a pyramid, not a pyramid scheme, but they wanted to make as much money as they can off of it. Without caring if it was real or not. They just like the idea that it could be real.
Yeah.
Ooh, this one's interesting, especially because it's going to tie into our...
First, let's say a little bit of thank you to everyone.
For listening and supporting us.
Hello, everyone. I just want to take this moment to tell you that I'm not only a podcaster, but I'm also a streamer. I stream about every morning about 11:30, Monday through Friday, if I can. I stream over at twitch.tv/G1Tanner. But check me out, hang out, say hi, and lurk and stuff. Right now, I'm playing Shadow of War, NBA 2K20. Last games I were playing. But I think I'm going to start up Squadrons and stuff. And now, I just want to take another moment to tell you about some channels that I like to watch, like, on Twitch. Like Natural Spook, Huckable Lux, A Red Robe, Sound Like a Dude, Cyber White Tiger, Game Attack, G1 Game Days, Johnny CL Chase, Reset Patrick, Shell Shock Prime, Luck Raider, Mistle Snooky. Check them all out. There's more. Arana. I can't think of any others, but. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to all the G1s out there. Now back on to the show. No excuse for you.
What are you, my father? He fucking says that all the time.
Really?
Uh-huh. All right. So I kind of like this next one because it's going to tie into what we are going to be doing next.
Oh, yeah.
So, super excited for that.
The healer who became a goddess. In times before the Spanish arrived in Mexico, in the town of Teloloan, on the shores of Lake Zapotol, there lived a very beautiful woman. This lady was reputed to be an excellent healer, capable of curing any disease, even the lethal ones. The incredible woman was named Zapatola Din. The beautiful healer was the granddaughter of a lady very respected by the community and one of its oldest. This was another reason why the healer was also very respected and loved. First and foremost, though, she was very admired for her healing gifts that were extraordinary. She also had a vast knowledge of the medicinal plants of the region and was a woman known to be most virtuous and modest.
One day, Tazaplantla was in the field studying the plants and collecting some that she needed for her box of medicines. While gathering herbs, she saw a child approaching her. What?
Box.
What? Oh, Lord. Running and screaming. When the child reached her, she said that her mother was in labor, but the situation was very delicate since the baby could not get out of her mother's womb.
Oh, no.
So that's a plant. I'm just going to call her TZ.
Okay.
It makes it sound easier. Ran to the house of the woman in labor to help her. However, delivery was very difficult, and anything the healer tried did not have any positive effect.
Oh, no.
TZ, in her desperation to help the woman, asked some men who were outside the home watching what was happening to bring her lots of resin from pines, as much as they could. The men left hurriedly to fulfill the request of the healer. When they returned to the hut, TZ quickly made plasters that she placed on the belly of the expectant mother, who was insane with pain.
After a while, the plasters worked and the poor woman's pain subsided. A strong and healthy child was born. The beautiful healer was impressed by the powers of resin, plasters. She never imagined that they would have been so effective. From then on, when she insisted a woman in labor, She used resin plasters to help with the pain and to facilitate difficult delivery. The wonderful pine resin plasters not only served to help women in labor, but could cure other diseases.
Interesting.
Years later, Tazpolatena was bitten by a very poisonous snake and became very gravely ill. Local healers applied her famous plasters for resin, but the woman got worse. As days passed, the healer became thinner, the color left her face.
In the end, TZ died.
Fuck.
Come on, you got a thing after
me. I bet the only person that could have healed her
was her.
Was her.
Yep. And because
I do.
She got bit by a poisonous snake, and you need the venom from the poisonous snake. Yeah. She was kind of screwed.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she who had cured so many people had not been able to heal herself. Her funeral was very beautiful and crowded. All the communities in the area came with white flowers as a tribute to a woman so kind and wise. She became a goddess to whom the sick prayed and asked for miracles. In addition, the healers converted her into their deity, whom they revered for her discovery of Savior resin plasters. As always, she cured the one who worshipped her. She soon became famous not only in Jalisco, but even in the Senor de Mexico and the Kingdom of Kazakhstan. The town of Tlano, where the beautiful goddess was born, became Tlano TZ, the place where she was reinvented and dedicated as the goddess of the healers.
Amazing. So that ties into our upcoming project, does it not?
Yes, it does. Our upcoming project is a different type of podcast. It is a podcast in itself, but it's going to be on mythological races.
Yeah, like gods and goddesses.
Yep, and fairies, fae, centaurs, anything that has a mythological origin.
Yeah, and it's going to be called Mythological Races. With me, Tanner.
And me, Amanda.
The goddess.
I am not.
Pure goddess. But I hope you enjoyed this episode this week of the Cozy Crypto Podcast. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter.
TikTok.
I kind of deleted my Facebook page because the shit wasn't right. The damn, I didn't like it. It wouldn't let me change the damn name.
It was too difficult to do.
It was not difficult. It wouldn't change my name. It wouldn't allow me to change my name.
That's stupid.
Yeah. On the Facebook page. So I just deleted it. So I'm not on Facebook no more. I am on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. But you can check out all episodes. Reach me if you want to reach out for.
To come be on the show.
Ask questions, submit stories, listen to stories, buy merchandise. Cozy Crypto shirts, like we have t-shirts, hoodies, water bottles,
fanny packs. Highly recommend a fanny pack. Was not a fan of it before. I now wear one every day to work
because
I keep my essentials right there instead of carrying a huge pocketbook all day around with me at work.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
Yes, I hate to admit it because they're so outdated.
But you can save 25% off your order with code word cozy at checkout.
And don't forget, the brands are also on the website. So go check out.
Go to culturecrypt.com/brands and you used to see a wall of logos and code words for discounts. But thank you again for watching and
we'll see you all next
hold
week.
Hold on. What? You shut the fuck up, Peter. Some guy named Peter is gonna be like, what the fuck?
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Peter, shut the fuck up. You talk too much.
All right, thank you guys.
Peter Smith from,
shut up,
from Chicago.
Good night, guys. Have a wonderful day or week.
Have a good one. I actually really appreciate you guys so much. Thank you.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.